Welcome to the Dynasty Nerds Fantasy Football Podcast, where we discuss dynasty strategy, rankings, and all things NFL. So get ready to geek out on fantasy football with your host, Rich Dotson.
And welcome to Dynasty Nerds Fantasy Football Podcast. I am your host, Rich Dotson, here with my fellow nerd, Matt O'Hara.
Hey, hey, hey.
Shenanay.
How's it going, man?
Wants to have my baby.
Yeah.
So we're back after the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You're back from Mexico, Dominican Republic.
I was going to say, not Mexico, but close enough.
They're all warm. You look tanner.
It was amazing.
Yes. You look more down south than.
I was hugging the border there.
Down low. How low can you go?
The equator, rather, not the border.
Sounds warm.
I'm a little bit slow today, we'll put it that way.
Yeah, it's still kind of warm up here today.
We definitely brought some home. It's like 60 degrees.
Yeah, dude, I'm so bummed. Like tomorrow, I was supposed to go snowboarding in New York and I cut my thumb, right? So I didn't go snowboarding in New York. So we rescheduled for tomorrow, February 8th, 3 weeks ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be really cold tomorrow and snow. Well, the last 2 days it's been 50 degrees and raining and stuff.
It's raining like crazy.
Yeah. Yep. So guess what? We're not going to New York tomorrow. It's been scheduled for 3 weeks. I can't even go. I take off work. I'm ready to go snowboarding in New York. I can't go. So
it's a bummer, bro.
I am. I'm bummed. Can you tell?
I can.
I'm bummed. You look tired.
I'm exhausted. Yeah.
Well, that's what happens when you're older and you go party for 4 days straight in the Dominican Republic.
That is exactly what happens. Yeah.
For the Super Bowl week of all things.
I was there for the Super Bowl.
Oh, that's crazy. How was it?
It was great, man. I was a little bit nervous, you know, going down there, kind of just not knowing if I'd be able to even watch the game or whatever. But we, you know, 2 days into the trip, they made some like big announcement about that they were going to be playing the Super Bowl on some big screen TV. Set up in this nice little courtyard and everything. But let's just say I did some daytime drinking that day. By the time the Super Bowl got around, I would say my attention wasn't completely on the game. And then the game went the way the game was going for the first few quarters there. So we ended up kind of just walking out and going, you know, catching another part of the resort just to see what it was like and go hang out. Whatever.
You thought the game was over.
You're
like, oh, it's 28-3.
You know, you have 29. You're there with a couple other friends and the ladies are getting together. They're like, come on, can we go? And you're like, yeah, you know what? This isn't a great game anyway. Let's just get out of here. So we left and then probably about, you know, it had to have been right after the game because there was people like kind of still filing out. I went in to ask one of the guys that worked at the resort who won. Well, there was a bit of a language barrier, and he told me the Falcons.
Uh-huh.
Either he had no idea what was going on.
Oh, the birds won. The birds.
Right, right. So, like, later on that night, on my way back to the hotel, there was a guy wearing an Atlanta Falcons jersey. So, me being, you know, like a Browns fan and like somebody that likes to root for the underdog, I guess, I was like, oh man, congratulations. And he looked at me with this sad, sad look on his face. He's like, we didn't win, man. I'm like, what? What do you mean you didn't win? Like, I left in the third quarter. You guys were dominating. How did you not win? He, like, told me the whole story and everything.
He laid it out for you?
He laid it out for me, and I felt so bad for that guy. I was and he had to relive it to tell some idiot drunk guy that left
before the game.
In the Dominican Republic, yes. And I apologized, like, profusely. He's like, don't worry about it. He took it really well. But, yeah, that's my Super Bowl story for this year.
Wow. Yeah, you missed the greatest comeback of all time.
I know. Well, you know, you're in the tropical, beautiful environment there.
In the middle of the ocean.
In the middle. Yeah. So, I mean, if it's a crap game, it's a crap game. So I moved on with my day.
And it wasn't a great game until the fourth quarter. And then it was just a domination by the Patriots. And it was just kind of. And you just kind of saw like amazing catch. You saw what was coming, you know, and the circumstances. I mean, you probably on your local radio, ESPN, everything, you've heard it all before. It was just amazing. It was the greatest comeback I've ever seen. It supplanted, it cements in stone. Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time. And then once the Patriots won the coin flip, my wife was already upstairs. She's like, I'm going to go watch Shameless. And I'm like,
oh my gosh.
All right. You know, and this was before, like, the end of the game. Like, I had a party. Everybody left at the fourth quarter. I had a party. Everybody left at
Everybody
the fourth
like
quarter.
Everybody was like me.
Who's late. They all went home. Like, oh, we're going to finish watching at home. A lot of people brought their kids over and stuff. I'm like, all right, cool, dude. You know, whenever I'm surrounded by 1,000 chicken wings and sandwiches and stuff, I'm like, I could do this. And the wife's like, hey, I'm going to go upstairs and watch Shameless. I'm like, shame on you. You know, she doesn't care about football.
Right.
She doesn't even know what fantasy football is. She just knows that we talk about it all the time. So, and I go upstairs and I'm like, so the Patriots win the toss, right? Mm-hmm. I literally walk upstairs. I walk to my room. The wife, because when she left, they were down 14 points with like 5 minutes left. She knows, like, yeah.
Right.
I'm like, the Patriots are about to win the Super Bowl. She's like, no way. I'm like, yeah, way. And I went back downstairs. And sure enough, that right down the field.
Oh, my God.
The defense was gassed. And
right.
It was pretty amazing to see. Like, I don't like the Patriots just because, well, I like the Browns. That's what I'm not one of those people who like other teams. I
right.
The Browns.
Right.
I totally felt bad for the Patriots, Falcons fans. I know we have a couple of writers that are Falcons fans and everything. And just kind of like, dude, like, if that was a, like, that would be how the Browns.
Would lose the Super Bowl. Correct. Absolutely.
And then you hear all these stories about, like, I didn't even know, like, how turmoil, like, Atlanta was, like, in their sports world. Like, they've only won one thing. They beat the Indians, of course, in the World Series, which is in 95. Of course, they beat us.
Is that, like, the only time?
That's the only time they ever won.
Oh, really?
How dominant the Braves were at that time. They only won one World Series. And, yeah, they beat us.
Of course.
Broke my heart. Well, they beat us pretty handily, so it wasn't really. The Marlins broke my heart. But yeah, they haven't done anything. Hawks have never won anything. Braves only won once. Falcons only been to two Super Bowls.
Wow. Well,
two more than us.
Right.
At least you got there.
We feel their pain.
They're a young team, a lot to build on. Now that Kyle Shanahan's gone, they bring in the USC, Alabama OC.
Right, Steve Sarkisian.
Yeah, I don't want to say his name because I messed it up, so somebody could tweet at me saying, you don't even know the names.
So yeah, I due to the fact that I just got back from the Dominican, I haven't really had a chance to really sit down and figure out what that means. I'm a bit surprised that they didn't, like, go in-house and try to keep everything.
Yeah, like the quarterback's coach is about to get hired by the Rams as the OC.
Right.
So you think they'd want to keep it because they made such strides, but maybe at the same time they know, like, I mean, maybe they could utilize, like, Matt Ryan for that as well. Hey, this is what worked. This is what we want to keep going there. They said they're most likely going to extend Devontae Freeman, which is good news.
Sure.
Everything else is looking up for there. So Atlanta's still got a lot of promise. They're a young defense. That's why they was completely gassed at the end. I know Bill Belichick said, hey, this is why we focus on stamina.
Right.
This is exactly why.
And they run, like, no huddle and stuff, like 2-minute drill, like outside of the 2-minute drill type of things all the time to do that.
Yeah, the total snaps they worked out with the Atlanta was on the field for a game and a half.
Yeah, I mean,
the defense. So at the end, they were just done for. And again, and that's why the Patriots just marched right down the field. There's no stopping them.
Right. I mean, you saw the time of possession. It was so lopsided. It was ridiculous in New England's favor.
Normal people, you know, look good. I mean, Edelman had a couple of big catches. James White looked really good. Maybe now is the time to. It's kind of cheesy to say, okay, now's the time to sell high on James White, you know, because it's like, who's really buying James White?
Right.
Really? I mean, there's tons of people that have good games in the Super Bowl and then they're never heard from again. So, but James White had a terrific game.
Yeah.
A lot of people thought Deion Lewis was going to have a good game. It was James White. So.
Right. I think Deion Lewis, he did something to his hamstring. Right?
Yeah, it looked pretty bad. But that was even later in the game anyways. Right. Still, at this point, it was still like James. Mm-hmm. You know, once the glare blunt fumbled, that was it.
Right.
So, but yeah, the Super Bowl was fun. You had a fun time in Dominican. Was it all-inclusive?
It was all-inclusive. It was amazing.
Dude, I'm telling you. I've done lots of vacations. I've traveled the world. All-inclusive is the way to go.
It's
beyond amazing.
If you get a good one too, and like the food is really good, and they're not giving you like crap liquor and stuff like that, and that's exactly. I mean, I was on that kind of one. Like the food was excellent. All the booze was really good, and it was just amazing.
Yeah, for our honeymoon, we went to Mexico, and it was all inclusive, and it was same thing. It was top shelf liquor.
Right.
All the restaurants were 4-star restaurants. Like the food was unreal. Right. Like so much, like you didn't even want to drink. But the best part was when we. So we're at our honeymoon. We get to Mexico for the first time. I get in a room. I open the fridge. Like we walk in. I'm like, oh, this is nice view of the ocean. Like we're on the ocean, right? Pool. Right. It's beautiful. We have a swan made out of a towel on our pillow with rose petals. I'm like, dude, I'm about to tear those rose petals up. Like I just got married, but got to consummate, right? So
I'm sure that's just what everyone wants to hear.
Yeah. Well, that's what you do on your wedding night.
Sure.
Right? You kind of, for the first time ever.
Yeah.
Isn't that how it's done?
Yes, that's exactly.
It's my kids back home. but I opened, we had the mini bar. Everything's all included. Room service, everything. But I opened a mini fridge, the mini bar, right?
Yeah.
Full of Corona.
That's how mine was. Yeah.
It was also full of the Mexican bottled Coca-Cola.
That's what mine was.
And I look at my wife and I'm like, this is going to be the best trip ever.
Yeah, the good Coca-Cola out of the bottle.
Yes.
Out of the glass bottle. Yep.
You empty the fridge, you come back an hour later, it's filled back up.
Yep. They just keep filling them up, man.
There's some kind of sorcerer walking around with bottle cokes. Boom, abracadabra. I drink more bottled Coca-Cola than, and I don't even drink pop. And yes, here in Cleveland, we call it pop. So wherever you live, if you call it soda, then whatever, we call it pop.
You can giggle at us for calling it pop.
If you say soda, I giggle at you, silly wordsman. So, but yeah, I'm like, oh my God. And I don't even, like, but I don't drink pop, right? But
right.
I do have a fetish for like bottled Coke from Mexico.
Fetish? That seems dirty.
It is dirty, but I can do that. But if I get my mouth on that bottle, it's all sensuous.
All right, man.
Like a circus seal.
Oh, man.
Anyways.
You're going too far down the rabbit hole.
As we're
right
11
now.
Minutes into the show, let's talk about our topic here. Matt's exhausted. He literally got back from the Dominican last night.
Yeah, like 11.
Late last night.
Yeah.
So this show is going to be a little smooth going. We'll get right through this show. Next week, we're probably going to do maybe like an evergreen topic, because after that, we're going to have Mike back on, and we're going to do rookie running backs.
More rookie stuff, yeah.
So we have two episodes coming up. So next week episode, and then two episodes on the rookie running backs. And we're going to start getting all the episodes after that. We're going to get into the rookies by that time the NFL Combine is going to be around.
Sure.
So we'll have a talk about that. And then after that, we'll have the NFL Draft, and then we'll go through it all over again.
Yes, we will.
We'll get a little rookie draft in there, too.
Sure.
Mock draft. Maybe we can get one with Mike, because that'd be a third wheel.
That'd be awesome.
Mike is a those typical things, third wheel.
Yeah,
too.
Those things always go a little bit better, I think, when you have a third person there. They kind of throw a wrench in it, I guess, or whatever.
And what I do, we didn't do it last year, but we did it a year before. We did it like a draft where it's like, where we did the, you know, why and why not draft. Like, so, and you weren't in this show. I remember it was Mike and we did it where like Mike would draft a player and I would, and I'd have to argue against that, and he'd argue for it. Even if you liked a player, you just had to make some kind of argument for it. So I kind of want to do that, too, because it gives you kind of both sides.
Sure.
You're like, hey, I'm taking Todd Gurley first. We're like, well, you shouldn't take Todd Gurley because of this.
Right.
And then you're like, well, you should still take Todd Gurley. So I want to do one of those as well. But let's get into it. Today's episode is going to be buy low.
Yeah, buy low, guys. Some you know.
And I know we did a show like this like a month ago, right around there. Too, but I kind of want to refresh it. There's some more players I thought that were really good value, because now we actually enter the NFL offseason. This is where it begins.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's been not player movement, but there have been like coaches that have been shuffled around and stuff like that.
Not so fast, Pat Sajak. There was some player movement today.
Oh.
Two players went moved. First,
let's
talk about the important one first. Josh McCown was cut by the Cleveland Browns.
Super important.
So I know your dynasty team just took a big hit today, but don't worry. We'll talk about how you can fix that problem later in the show.
T-minus 10 days until he has a coaching job.
He said he still wants to play.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Old man River.
That's surprising. All right.
Also in the news, James Starks was cut by the Green Bay Packers today.
Oh.
Adam Schefter tweeted that they're most likely going to try and re-sign him to a lower price. But at the same time, it's a little bit somewhat like, okay, they must either really believe in Ty Montgomery, because guess what? Eddie Lacy's a free agent, too. In fact, Eddie ain't going back to Green Bay.
No, so is Christine Michael. Christine Michael, I believe, is a free agent also.
Kristen is a free agent.
So, I mean, that literally is Ty Montgomery is the only person on the roster.
Get out your crystal ball.
Yes.
Don't, just one ball. What are you doing?
Sorry.
So get out your, okay. Is Kristen Michael on an NFL roster next year?
A
lot of rookie talent coming in.
No. specify when. When the season starts?
When the season starts.
I don't think so either.
That's my guess. Like, if I had to guess, he won't be on a roster.
I think he'll get picked up by somebody as like a camp body, and if there's not like an injury or something like that, he won't beat anybody out.
Yeah, so I'm looking for, like, I'm interested what the Packers do at running back in this draft. I think they'll bring James Starks. But even if they bring James Starks back, which Schefter retweeted that, is like Ty Montgomery's a really good like receiving running back, and that's what they can. If you can use Ty Montgomery in that like Gio Bernard kind of role, I feel like he'd be really well suited, definitely in that Green Bay offense. But this puts up an opportunity to get a big back that can like be a bulldozing back, like a James Conner that could be drafted a little bit later. That's gonna get a huge boost in dynasty value.
Sure,
that'd be a kind of like a goal line back.
And you know, obviously, Ty Montgomery hasn't been necessarily in the offseason training to be a running back the past couple years. He's been training to be a wide receiver. So he could potentially add a little bit of weight in the offseason.
And he was a running back before he was a receiver, anyway. So.
But, I mean, I think when you get to the NFL and you're labeled a wide receiver, and I mean, he had a wide receiver number and everything, you train a certain way, and it's not necessarily to get bigger or stronger. It's to be quicker in and out of cuts and stuff like that. So I wouldn't be surprised if he came in slightly bigger than he was playing at this year.
True.
So, I mean, I'm not saying that they're not going to get one. They obviously still, I mean, he's the only guy on their team. They're going to need to bring probably one or two guys back. So,
yeah, and again, I mean, this was a situation we're going to monitor anyways. Mm-hmm. There's so many situations in this NFL with this talented rookie running back class to see where these late round picks are going to hold so much value. Again, depth, and more depth here. Right. And I know we talked about that last week. We were talking about our seniors, just about like how those receivers kind of built up. Even though I saw like two scouts that I kind of respect, both kind of were like, oh, I didn't think Cooper Kupp had a good senior bowl or practice. Like, I feel like that was completely overblown. And I know, I think it was like Matt Waldman or somebody tweeted like, hey, like I'm watching Cooper Kupp tape like in depth, which I haven't done in depth. And saying like, man, he like really struggled versus some like really small schools. So interesting. Right. Yeah. Just like a news and note, because like he had a really good senior bowl. He looked really good to me in a practice and in a game. So just news and notes. I haven't dug it deep in his tape yet. I'm trying to get ready for these rookies running backs that we're going to dig into here soon. Mm-hmm. We're about to do two full shows on these running backs. We're going to get deep.
Deep.
So deep. Mm-hmm. You know what's going to sleep?
That ass.
You know it.
Yeah.
So, and then we're talking about Lacy. So we're going to talk about players to buy low here. And speaking of like James Starks getting cut or Eddie Lacy, Eddie Lacy's not old, but he's a little old in the tooth for your dynasty team. Maybe like you want to focus on some of these old running backs. You know, Adrian Peterson might be a likely cut candidate. Jamal Charles may get cut. If he doesn't, I don't think it really hurts him. And even Frank Gore, guys that you could probably get for really cheap. I mean, let's face it. I mean, there's no reason. Some people might say like if you gave a 2017 second for Jamal Charles or Adrian Peterson, that you'd be overpaying at this point.
Sure.
And you can make a good case for how deep this draft class is. So what if you can get, you know, one of those guys for not a draft pick? Maybe you like flip a team that needs a receiver there, maybe like an older receiver, like a guy like Jordy Nelson, who's really good. Maybe you can get Jordy Nelson, you can get Jamal Charles and a pick back, you know? Maybe you get Adrian Peterson and pick back if you need some running back help.
I mean, I'd personally rather just have Jordy Nelson than Adrian Peterson
again, this is always in a vacuum, but if you need a running back help really badly, obviously you're intact to draft. But these are guys like Frank Gore is a good example in Indy, how he gave you 1,000 yards in Indy, was a solid running back too. And if he comes back again next year, granted, I don't see anything happening next year, but Gore could be had for nothing.
No, I think if you're going after these guys, you're a contending team, so you're probably not going to want to get rid of a Jordy Nelson type guy. You'd probably want to give up the pick.
A draft pick.
You give up a third round pick or something for one of those guys, and that's a great deal for you. You know, it gives you a little bit of security for a third round pick. It's like a shot in the dark.
Yeah,
you know?
I think if you're a contender, like obviously you're only doing this if you're a contender, but say you had like the 11th or 12th pick, right? And you can always use a running back. And maybe at the end of the second round, there's a guy you kind of like, but hey, you want that running back security. I have no problem, more so Jamal Charles and Adrian Peterson.
I'm with you there, yeah.
But I want to see where they land. I mean, JC's been out the game all year, so he's going to be more fresh. But let's see where they land first. And definitely if he stays in KC with Andy Reid and Spencer Ware there to help him out. I mean, Jamal Charles, if he can stay healthy, which is a big if, I get it, could still have that one more, like, boom, big year, and then burn out.
Yeah, he's definitely, you know, both those guys are nearing the end. I think Adrian Peterson might just be done. I'm not really sure. I'm leaning towards Jamal as well.
I mean, I'm in that super flex spot, right?
Right.
I just took Jamal Charles in the 11th round for that mock draft.
It's a mock draft, but to me,
I'm looking at it, it's like, well, if I can just get 1 year out of this guy, that's for a running back. I mean, what else more are you going to ask for? The kind of year that can help you win a championship, too. It's not like you're like, oh, if I can get a year of this guy where I can start him. I mean, you're going for, like, that championship-caliber year.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely more JCs just because he catches passes. So if you're in a PPR league, that's kind of where it's at. So you like that?
Surely.
So let's talk about a couple guys here that you should try and kind of buy low on. And now's the time because now that the Super Bowl is over, people are like, okay, this is off-season mode. Combine's coming up, you know. Pro days will be coming up shortly after that. So now's the time. I'm fully in dynasty offseason. I'm going to pay attention to these mock drafts. I'm going to take a look around. I'm going to follow a little bit more closer. Maybe now's the time to make some trades. So this is like, this is why we play Dynasty Fantasy Football, right? This is where like.
Right. Some, I mean, some people make moves just to, they want to make moves. Yeah. They want to keep football alive within themselves during the offseason.
You want to rub it in your nine Dynasty friends' face. Like, look at dude, I'm still fantasying. I'm still at it, man.
That's right.
So number one, here's a guy on my list. I got some guys here I want to go through with you. Right now, ADP of 59. He's only 25 years old, Carlos Hyde. You know, he was running back 31 last year, which is, you know, pretty good, mm-hmm. being running back 31.
Sure.
See that he missed 2 weeks. It's a lot of weeks.
That is, I mean, yeah, I think he was dinged up, too, for quite a few other ones.
Well, not only that, for 7 weeks, yeah. Okay, so he missed 2 weeks. That's 14 weeks. Half the year, he got 15 carries or less.
Sure.
On half the year. He only had 27 receptions.
I mean, that it was a complete mess. I mean, the whole situation there was obviously just horrible. So.
Yeah, and everything around him was terrible. Right. So you're bringing in Kyle Shanahan. Now, Kyle Shanahan, he's a smart enough coach where he's going to realize he has to utilize the running back there anyways. But when I go back there, I mentioned that he had 27 receptions as well in that game. So, again, 15 carries a game, that's just not good enough. And again, Carlos Hyde has to stay healthy. But when he does, he's a pretty good running back. And I don't think a lot of people don't like Carlos Hyde, but I'm a fan. And you got to look at the Atlanta situation. Tevin Coleman, 31 receptions, 421 yards on the year.
Mm-hmm.
Devontae Freeman, 54 receptions, 462 yards on the year. So that gives you 85 receptions at the running back game. That's now taking that offensive coordinator, his game plan, going to San Francisco. 85. So obviously, you know, Carlos Hyde's not getting 85 receptions.
No. It's a big part of his offense, though. And, I mean, that number's probably going to be slightly inflated just because of the talent that they had there and the lack of maybe an established tight end that they had.
But I think that Carlos Hyde could be just as talented as both of these backs. Personally, I mean, that's my own firm belief in Carlos Hyde. And, I mean, if you take that, you take the 54 receptions by Freeman, the 31 by Coleman, and you meet him in the middle, that still gives you about 44, 45 receptions on the year, which is pretty satisfying as running back.
No, absolutely, yeah. It's a great offense to be, you know, the top running back in. As long as he can hold on to that position, either, you know, by staying healthy or just not, like, fumbling it away or anything like that, which he doesn't have, like, a big history of.
No, so. Not at all. I mean, his big thing is just staying healthy.
Right.
So, I mean, let's see what they have the second most free, you know, cap space mm-hmm. next to the Browns. So let's see what they do there this offseason, too, to kind of make that team better around Carlos Hyde. So I said he was running back 31. I read it wrong. He's running back 18. I'm sorry.
Oh, so better.
I read the B as a 3.
Oh.
And I knew it was wrong. I just had to go back and look. I said, that's not right. He was running back 31.
Yeah, you do have some sloppy writing.
Oh, very sloppy. I write so much for my career. Literally sometimes I look at, like, I write stuff down for work, and I don't even know what I wrote down. I'm, like, sitting there trying to decipher. It's
bad when you can't decipher your own writing.
It's like the Enigma code or whatever that was. So he was running back 18 last year, playing behind that game. So he was running back 18 with 7 weeks, half the games he played, he had 15 carries or less.
Right, yes.
And he was running back 18. So that's, dude, that's a mid-range running back too. That's high-quality stuff.
And all of it was in Chip Kelly's disastrous offense.
Yeah, so. I mean, and if you look at people that, you know, he had a better year than Tevin Coleman, Lamar Miller, Matt Forte, guys that you were like, yeah, they were pretty good running backs last year.
Right.
So Carlos Hyde, I mean, if I came at you and said, oh, you think Carlos Hyde had a good year last year? I bet most people would be like, no, Carlos Hyde didn't have a good year last year. He was really under the radar.
Yeah.
And sure enough, there it was, middle running back two, which is, that's good.
That's solid. I mean, especially because of the circumstances. So I think you could definitely, in this offense, he'll be a running back one as long as he stays healthy.
And I'm going to talk about a lot of running backs here, too, because I think you can make a case with the influx of running back talent coming in. Just how I talk about the old guys, how it drops the value. I think it's going to drop the value of some of these guys as well. So, I mean, what if you can get Carlos Hyde for a pretty high second? That's pretty much stealing, right?
I would do that in a heartbeat.
I think you should be able to get him. I'd be willing to go up a late first. So if you need a running back and you miss out that top-end talent, if you have a late first, go after Hyde.
I agree with that, like, wholeheartedly, yeah.
So, yeah, give that late first for Hyde. I think it's good value. I think, again, bar an injury, but I don't try to look at things, you know, unless your name's Arian Foster, I don't try to predict injuries, right? I mean, certain people are guaranteed to be injured. I'm not ready to put Carlos Hyde there yet. If he misses, and again, he only missed two games last year.
Right. It's not like he blew out an ACL or a patellar tendon or something like crazy like that.
He was just in a bad system with a bad team. So now's the time to capitalize that. We have a really good offensive coordinator, one that knows how to coordinate in the NFL, and see where that takes him. And again, there's no reason to believe that Todd Gurley will not be the Carlos Hyde will not be the focal point of the 49ers offense. Because right now, they have nothing.
He's literally the best that they have, yeah.
Yeah, he's like the only thing they have. They don't even have a quarterback on the roster here soon. So, Carlos Hyde, bye-bye-bye. Not in sync, bye-bye. Bye-bye. As in...
B-U-Y.
Use that dynasty capital and go out there. And target that owner and see what you can get him for. I think it's a really good investment for your dynasty team.
Sure.
Another guy in the list here is another running back. C.J. Anderson for the Denver Broncos. Mm. Remember him?
I do.
It's been a while.
Mm-hmm.
He was running back, I don't know, last year. He missed too many games. But, I mean, he's saying he's 100% now after that torn meniscus. He only played week 1 through 17. But in week 1 through 17, he was a solid fantasy running back. I mean, he had 437 yards, 4.0 average. He had 4 touchdowns in 7 games. Rushing. He had 1 receiving. So he had 5 touchdowns in 7 games. 16 catches for 128 yards. Pretty solid year. And remember, he's under contract for a while, too. I think he's under contract till like 2020. I know that because I read it under. I know Corey Evans, one of our writers, he wrote a buy low article on January 25th, and CJ Anderson was one of the guys he had in his article as well. So Corey's with me.
Okay.
And if you listen to the Dynasty Dude podcast, you know what that Corey knows what he's talking about.
So, I mean, CJ Anderson, yeah, after week 12, he didn't play, basically. I just looked it up real quick. And he was running back 12 at that point. So he was right there at the low end of RB1s when he basically went down with the injury. So
Devontae Booker came in. He showed he wasn't a running back one.
I agree with that. I mean, yes.
The big thing is he's paid. He's ready to go. They have the running back. They have other worries to worry about.
He's in there. The only concern I have is they're obviously switching systems here. Out is the Gary Kubiak zone. They brought in Mike McCoy back, and then his first hire was Jeff Davison, which is like a power rushing attack type of offensive line coach. So, I mean, that's the only concern I have when you're talking about CJ Anderson. This stuff does matter. Some guys are only good in certain systems. Oh, yeah,
scheme fits are very important.
Right. So that's what that makes me a little bit nervous, but at the same time, I do think CJ Anderson is the best back there, and I think he'll be the guy that wins it. And you know,
I think he's going to be this year. He's going to be given an opportunity to shine again. And I think right now, again, if you can get CJ Anderson for a very late first, a very high second, I think that's very good value.
Mm.
I think it's better than I think it's tremendous value.
And really, they're going to be they or have openly said that there's going to be a QB competition between Paxton Lynch and Trevor Siemian, which means with that defense, they're going to want to run the heck out of the ball and really kind of don't put too much, you know, not to put too much on the shoulders of the quarterback.
And maybe they're even playing behind Tony Romo.
Yeah, yeah.
You never know.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, at this point, though, all we can say is those two guys are there and they're going to compete.
Tony Romo's going to be a Houston Texan, right? He's going to go to the Texans.
You think?
I think so. It's my guesstimate.
Sure. Okay. Your guess.
A team that could, you know, one of the top defenses in the league.
They were literally eliminated, like, immediately.
Yeah. They have a legit number one receiver.
I mean, like, somebody already said that it's not going to be Houston Texans.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I can't remember who. I read it somewhere. Well, Tony Romo is not going to go to Houston.
You're reading it with your ears right now.
Yes, sir.
I'm reporting.
Okay.
From my non-sources.
All right.
That he's going to be a Houston Texan.
Perfect.
Want to know my sources?
You.
Wow. God, who gave that up?
Me.
Oh, wow. All right. And obviously, like, every guy we name here, like, they're all they're not buy low guys if they're not risk. If they weren't a risk, you wouldn't be able to buy them low.
Right, right. If there wasn't some risk, you wouldn't be able to purchase them at all.
Yeah, when you hit play on the podcast, the title said buy low. You should know that, oh, these are guys that are going to be a little risque.
Yeah,
totally. But then sometimes when you're a dynasty team, you got to be a little risque, right?
Yes, sir.
Get out there and put your toe in the water.
Mm-hmm,
sometimes it's going to burn a little bit. It's going to be a little cold, a little nipply.
Yeah.
Nipples might turn into diamonds, but hey.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's going to happen. But it's Carlos Anderson, CJ, Carlos...
Carlos Hyde, CJ Anderson. I'm on you, man.
I'm dyslexic.
I can straighten you out there.
I'm sorry. I'm looking at my B's and threes. I don't know these guys' names. Goes back to the way
and I'm the one that was just on vacation. How am I supposed to be the one straightening you out, man?
I'm still drunk from the Super Bowl.
Brain is mush.
I ate so many calories. Another guy here. So what do you think about this guy as a buy low? Kevin White for the Chicago Bears. Now, Kevin White is only 24 years old. And you're talking about the number 7 overall pick in 2015. He's played 4 games in 2 seasons.
I was a huge advocate of this guy coming out. And I still do love the way he looked in college. I just haven't seen the guy play at all in the NFL. And it's starting to, like, sadden me a little bit or something on his.
In 4 years, we've seen him play 1 year at West Virginia.
Right.
Essentially.
Right. You're talking about going all the way back to his college years.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, for, like, a most part, like, a really good tape, it's that. And it's kind of. So here's the thing with Kevin White. Everybody's got to feel that way, right? Like, you're saying, here you are. You're a big proponent, but now even you're kind of like,
Yeah, right.
Because even the time he's, even those 4 games he's played, he hasn't looked great.
No, he hasn't looked great. I mean, it's hard to tell what, you know, if it's just still injury, like lingering injury related, because the guy was super explosive on tape.
Yeah, and I remember college. When he was coming out, like, I like Kevin White because I remember. The big thing I remember saying that sticks out in my head was like, oh, the wow factor with Kevin White when he was coming out of West Virginia. But I was always like, everybody else was a little bit higher on him just because I was like, listen, man, he only played 1 year at West Virginia. He does have that wow tape at West Virginia, but there's a lot, like, there's some concern there. And now it turns out the concern was injuries, which I never, you know, you can't predict that anyways, but
right.
We always knew, like, the thing was like, all right, well, no matter what, he's going to be a project in the NFL. Like, he's going to have to, like, get molded into an NFL receiver still. Like, the talent's there, but he's got to be molded into that kind of receiver status. And so now we're entering year 3, which for the most part is when you expect a player to stand out.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going there. Chicago's going to try to do everything they can to get an established quarterback in that system. They have Jordan Howard. Alshon Jeffrey's leaving.
Alshon Jeffrey's most likely gone.
So his number one competition is going to be Cameron Meredith.
Who came on at that? I mean, especially at the end of the
looked
year
great.
Last year.
Yeah, I agree. He looked great. But, I mean, come on. You're the number 7 overall pick in the NFL draft. You got to beat out Cameron Meredith for that number one job. And what I would say is, if you don't buy low on Kevin White now, right, which I can kind of see, like, if you're like, no, what, Rich, that's too risque for me, even though I agree I want to put my toe in the water too, but, you know, I don't want to go all the way in the bottom because then it starts to really feel funny. You know, I don't want to put my waist below that water.
Yeah, I understand what you're trying to convey.
So, and you might also want to remember this because when a season starts, you can still expect a little rustiness from Kevin White. The whole team's going to be kind of in disarray a little bit there in Chicago. You might be able to buy Kevin White cheaper in season next year.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. If the guy comes back and starts doing well, you might
Missed your opportunity.
You might have just lost your opportunity.
Well, that's what I'm saying, buy low now.
Right.
But I'm saying if you don't, there might be an opportunity to buy low later, even potentially. It's a risky move. It's like the stock market. You might want to drop for a couple more dollars. What I'm looking for Kevin White next year, like for like long-term success, it's not what I see early on. I want to see him about week 4, week 5, week 6. I want to see where he's at then in that offense. That's when I expect him to, that's where I feel like I'll have a good feel of Kevin White next year. So in 2017, right around like October, I feel like I'll know what Kevin White, like I'll be like, you know what?
You'll finally have some film to evaluate on the NFL level. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, pretty much. That's what I'm, what I'm trying to say.
Because it's, I mean, as of now, it's, I mean, you're just going off basically West Virginia tape. And
I mean, if you want to put in simpleton terms, yes, that's what
I was
I'm saying.
Trying to dumb it down as much as possible. My brain is not working today.
Yeah, okay. Well, I feel like Kevin White, what do you think of that? I mean, what's your opinion on that? Would you buy Kevin White or would you not buy Kevin White?
I definitely wouldn't buy him in season, like 4 games in.
Okay.
I would buy him now while it was super cheap.
What's like? What do you think is value? Like, what do you think? I think
you can get him for like a second round. Yeah.
So you're talking about a guy who's a top 3 pick in rookie drafts. Right. You can get for a second, right?
I think so.
I think second too. I think somebody could be frustrating because a lot of people, what they do with players like him, these rookies, they cut bait because they're like, you know what, he's never gonna be good. I wasted a draft pick.
Right, and you know it's literally a second round pick, which is a, I mean, in some drafts, that's like nothing. I mean, you know, like you're just taking a shot at the dark. And this one, you know, depending on how high it is, you're giving up a pretty decent pick still, but it's nothing compared to like the all-world talent that Kevin White showed in college. So, I mean, you're still getting a really good value, I think.
Yeah, for a second round pick. You can't ask more for that. I mean, what receiver in a second round of this draft is going to be on that level? None. Not even close.
Cause
not even in the late first.
To me, I mean, it's just a matter of, I guess, injury, which, who knows? He could get all his explosiveness back, and then you're sitting on a gold mine.
It could be a complete bust.
Right. It's totally a risk. But
moves.
It's something I would be willing to do.
Like, who would you rather have? Moscow Mule or Kevin White?
Kevin White. I think it's just a better prospect.
Would you rather have Zay Jones or Kevin White? It all depends where Zay Jones goes.
Right. It all depends on where Zay Jones goes.
Look at Zay Jones.
Because, I mean, at this point, I mean.
You take the health.
Right. You're taking the youth and health
right
there.
I mean, he's explosive too. So, all right. Another guy on the list here. Amir Abdullah. You know, Amir Abdullah is only 23 years old. He's a young buck.
He's a young buck, yeah.
So
still has small hands, though. I don't think those grew any.
Yeah, he still smells like cabbage. I mean, he only played week one and week two last year. But in week one, he had 12 carries for 63 yards. That's good for 5.3 per clip. He also had 5 receptions for 57 yards and a touchdown. Week two, 6 catches, 38 yards, good for 6.3. It's going to be him and Theo Riddick. I mean, I know there's some buzz about Zach Zenner possibly getting a bigger role too. But listen, Theo Riddick is a receiving back. He's a quality fantasy football running back in a PPR league. Yes. But what he showed us last year as well is he might as well be more of a slot receiver than a running back, because the guy is not an in-between the tackles running back. He is not a true running back. He is a strict receiving running back. That's it. So with the GM still believing in Amir Abdullah and still pimping his name out there, I think Amir Abdullah is going to get every shot to be the starter running back there. And I think that, you know, obviously if they attack something in the draft, I think no matter what they do in the draft, unless it's a high pick, that he's going to be the number one running back going the season. It's the same thing where if he can stay healthy, he may be a good bargain. Because you could for sure, in this running back class, get Amir Abdullah for a second round pick.
Yeah, no doubt you could get him for a second-round pick. I think his value is totally depressed. I'm not sure I would want him at that price.
You're depressing me with that comment.
I've never really liked the guy. I could see...
True, you've never... Being fair, you've never liked him.
I mean, I could see a guy, fifth-round rookie, coming in and beating this guy out. Just because I think he's really explosive when he's on the field. Him and Theo Riddick, to me, are very similar. I know he's a little bit better between the tackles, obviously, than Theo Riddick, who's like... basically, like you said, a slot receiver, but they do very similar things. I think what Detroit is missing is like a full on all around running back,
big solid guy.
And Amir Abdullah is not that either.
So you say don't buy.
I'm saying don't buy, but
I'm saying buy.
And you're saying buy.
Okay.
No big deal.
That's fair.
See, we don't always agree.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's right. You were wrong sometimes, so it's okay. I can live with it.
Sometimes we're both wrong. Most of the time. Sometimes just you.
Just me. So Amir Abdullah is so let me go through. Like, so Carlos Hyde's ADP right now is 59. CJ Anderson's ADP is 63. Kevin White's ADP is 71. I'm literally just going on a list here of ADP. So
sure.
Some people, Amir Abdullah is at 101 ADP. So he's out of the top 100 dynasty players right now selected. At 105, which I'm kind of surprised by this, behind Amir Abdullah ADP is Gio Bernard. Gio Bernard's only 25 years old. Yeah. He was running back 40 last year. He missed the last 6 weeks or so.
Refresh my memory. That was ACL, right?
I believe so.
Yeah. So he might not be back for the beginning of the season.
And, I mean, what we saw of Jeremy Hill, I mean, it was another year of Jeremy Hill just being...
Underwhelming.
I mean, Jeremy Hill finished the year as running back 22. Which is running back 2 in a year.
That's just because he had like 2 amazing games against the Browns. So.
And it's because he was like, again, because Gio got hurt.
Right.
And he was force fed the ball, but he was just, again, averaging like 2 yards per carry at times. You know, I mean, just, he's just not the answer.
No, I was going to say, I don't think they're going to necessarily move on from him, but I think they'll be bringing somebody in to compete with him.
And I think Gio's still going to be the focal point. I mean, remember, Gio just signed that extension as well. at the beginning of last year. So he's also signed. I think, again, if people are valuing Gio Bernard after Amir Abdullah, if you want a running back that's going to help you, as a running back too, most likely. Sure. Again, not a star, but a guy that's going to help you win a championship. Definitely if injury comes, bye week filler. Again, somebody that you can actually start on your roster.
Mm-hmm.
I think Gio Bernard's a good buy low. Just, I mean, his value. I mean, his value shows me the ADP of 105. That shows me he's a good buy low. I'm still in on Gio Bernard.
Sure, sure, and so, I agree with you on that.
Okay,
so just, I mean, he's a good PPR back, man.
Solid.
Yeah. So once he gets back and healed up from the ACL, which I mean, they're a big deal, but they're really not anymore. I think it'll be fine.
Okay, so say you have a competing team as well. ADP of 136 here, Austin Hooper. This is a guy, he's good.
Yeah. He definitely had a good rookie year.
I mean, you're looking at Levine Toyolo and Jacob Tammy are both free agents. Mm-hmm. Okay. He led the team in targets in the Super Bowl, caught 19, you know, his year wasn't that great. I mean, he only had 19 catches for 271 yards and 3 touchdowns.
But it's hard for a tight end, especially.
Oh, it's real hard.
Yeah. To transition and get in there and really make a big impact in their rookie year.
He led the team in targets in the Super Bowl.
Right.
So
that, I mean, that's definitely ending on a high note. Unfortunately for me, I really haven't had time to go back and dig into some of Sarkisian's numbers to see how he utilizes the tight ends. So I'm not really sure if that is going to be like, but you know, somebody that they use a lot. But I mean, the good news is Matt Ryan has got a history of liking to use the tight end.
Yeah.
So, I'm sure that either way, the tight end will be involved. I mean,
this is a really good class of tight ends too.
Right.
But I mean, again, he has ADP of 136. So it depends. Like you might be able to grab a tight end you like in that similarity in the draft, but it's worth a feeler putting out there. You know?
I mean, yeah, sure. If you can pull a deal, maybe even on draft day for him, that wouldn't be a bad maneuver either.
You put a piece of paper in your pocket and like, no matter what, Austin Hooper. He's coming home.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I like Austin Hooper. We liked him coming out in the draft. We preached him and Tyler Higbee. Higbee did absolutely nothing this year. Higbee probably won't even do anything remotely until about 2018.
I mean, you never know. I mean.
But he's one of those guys, like, just thrown out there, like Higbee. Like, maybe if, like, you get in the fourth round of your rookie draft and you can see who has Higbee, I'm like, hey, man, you like anybody here? And they have to say, oh, yeah, like I like somebody. Why? You want to give me your pick? You're like, oh, yeah, let me look at your roster real quick, even though you already know they have Higbee. And you're like, well, would you give me Tyler Higbee for him? Yeah, sure. Cool. Yeah, yeah. He's on the Rams. Right, they suck. They blow. They got, you know, and you get Higbee. I think it's worth like a late round pick.
Sure.
Personally.
No, like, so I like his skill set a lot. I would definitely, I know he didn't do anything this year. That doesn't scare me.
No, I don't expect, again, I don't expect him to do anything whatsoever until 2018.
I wouldn't be surprised if he did some like showed flashes next year.
Oh yeah, that's the only reason. Well, he's got to show flashes next year if he's doing anything in 2018. A couple quarterbacks you might want to get on: Jimmy Garoppolo, Mike Glennon, Jimmy G might be a Cleveland Brown.
Yeah,
might be a Chicago Bear.
Yeah, you never know.
Might be a 49er.
Might be a 49er.
That'd be good news, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think with Shanahan basically came out and said that he liked Jimmy Garoppolo and David Carr out of that draft, I think.
Yeah.
In reverse order, David Carr and then Jimmy Garoppolo is the number one and number two.
Derek Carr worked out pretty well, right?
He did. Yeah. But, I mean, to come out and say that kind of stuff, you're almost tampering without tampering.
Yeah.
Because he's not really the coach yet. People are just asking him about his time in like with the Browns so he could come out and say it, you know.
How was your time with the Browns? I really like Jimmy Garoppolo.
Right. I mean, he's tampering without tampering, basically. So he might be trying to pave the way to get a
super quick release. One of the fastest releases in NFL last year, Jimmy Garoppolo. He could smack a man before he knows he's being smacked.
Yeah, he still managed to get injured within like a game, though.
Which is always concerning.
Which is always concerning to me. Yeah.
Injuries are always concerning.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Yep.
Quarterbacks. Nobody cares about these quarterbacks. There's quarterbacks in the draft. I ain't drafting any of them. What rounds are these quarterbacks going to go in the rookies? That's why our rookie podcast episode is going to be rookie tight ends and quarterbacks.
Yeah. And quarterbacks. Thrown in.
We're going to talk to Sean Kizer, Mitch Trubisky, Deshaun Watson, and Pat Mahomes.
Yeah.
And that's it.
We'll dig into some other guys too. Come on. There's always the guy or two that pops up.
A couple seniors out there, whatever. Mm-hmm. Carlos Williams. So Carlos Williams resurfaces here on the podcast. I feel like 6 months ago I said Carlos Williams was worth nothing.
Did you say that?
Yes. All right. Like nothing. Like he's done the NFL.
Well, he got fat, and he got suspended for like 10 games or something for doing. Was it performance enhancing? I can't remember.
Cheeseburger.
I believe it was like one of those things where he got fat and then he did like performance enhancing drugs to, I think, try to lose weight.
I score a touchdown every game. I can eat whatever I want.
Right. And then, I mean, don't quote me on that. That's just my memory of what happened. So he's only got one game, I think, remaining left.
So
suspension.
His ADP right now is 251. There's a solid chance that Carlos Williams is on your waiver wire. And if he is, here's why you want to pick him up. You don't really want to give up anything for him. D'Angelo Williams is a free agent this year.
Sure.
So he's going to skedaddle.
He's going to be gone, yep.
Le'Veon Bell is most likely going to re-sign in Pittsburgh. Like, they'd franchise him for anything. That guy's not going anywhere.
Right.
But that puts, now, granted, there's still the draft, but as of right now, it's looking like most likely Carlos Williams is going to be the backup running back in Pittsburgh.
He's the next most talented guy. We'll put it that way.
Yes. And Le'Veon's always good for a boo-boo here and there.
He doesn't
leave home without the Band-Aids.
Right.
So it's just a guy with an ADP of 251 in the situation he is in as of right now today is a good spot to be in.
Yep.
I agree, that offense. So that's not more of like a buy low, like go out there and give up anything for him, unless you have like a 7-round rookie draft. You want to give up your 7th-round pick for him. Even then, it's a little risque, but he might be on your waiver wire. And if he is, he might be like one of those nice back end burners on your roster just to have right now, just to see where it gets you to when the year opens up.
Yeah, he's definitely worth a 7th-round pick. He's probably worth a 5th or 6th-round pick, to be honest.
Yeah.
What if
like Le'Veon Bell walks by like Josh Gordon's car?
Right.
You might get popped for a game or two.
You never know.
So
it would be more than that. Yeah. It would probably be, I think whatever his next suspension would be, it would be probably like 10 games.
It'd be a long time.
Yeah.
But it may work it out. Like, dude, I saw Josh Gordon. I went to go put my head in the window, say what's up. And I saw you smoking a doobie. I was like, whoa, let me get out of here.
They already reduced the one last year. Roger Goodell's only going to reduce so many suspensions before he just smacks it down.
You know, you can understand.
Yeah.
I wonder what's going to happen. Like, I wonder what would happen, like, you know, like all these states legalizing weed. Like, will the NFL, like, just say, okay?
I heard an interview about, I can't remember the player that was on. It was on Sirius NFL radio. And it was during the Super Bowl week. So they kind of like pimp some random stuff every once in a while. But one of the guys was talking about just like legalized marijuana and how it is a great, I guess, cure for CTE. I don't know.
I didn't know that.
But they were bringing that up to Roger Goodell, and it was quickly dismissed. So I'm not sure that they have much leeway.
Well, that's an argument. And an argument is a natural painkiller instead of trying to take pills after games, which is a good argument, too.
I think that's also was one of the things, like getting guys off of pain meds and stuff like that. And then it also is some sort of relief to CTE, which, you know, you would think the NFL would listen to that.
Yeah, we all know ibuprofen's a gateway drug, so
you
have to be careful. But of course,
they say breast milk leads to everything. So,
and again, that's all dependent if it comes completely legal. Like right now, people are like, well, what if you're caught smoking weed and like if you're in Denver or if you're in California where it's legal? Well, it's still legal federally, so that's why they had the case. But they passed it where it wasn't no longer legal federally. It's definitely not a performance enhancing drug. Like, I ain't gonna be like, oh dude, I'm gonna get pumped up, I'm gonna go out there and smoke this weed real quick and go play this game.
It's definitely not that. No,
definitely not. So
from what I hear,
that's a rumor, man. Watch the leather.
All right, bro.
So that's it. That's the show this week. I don't know what next week's topic is going to be because we haven't talked about it. Max's been out of the country, so I don't know what we're talking about.
I've been very incognito.
But after that, Mike's coming back, and we're digging into the rookies. So not next week's episode, but in 2 weeks from today, we'll be starting our only rookie talk podcast.
Maybe we'll do quarterbacks next week. Be a 20-minute show.
We don't need Mike for that.
No, we don't.
That's not a bad idea, actually. Yeah,
maybe we could do that.
Just jump right into quarterbacks and get it over the way?
Yeah, we'll see.
Good idea. Next week, we're going to start a rookie talk with quarterbacks.
All right.
It's going to be a 4-minute episode. Tune in. That's it. I want to thank everybody that's still, like, I'm still seeing, like, once every day or so. Here, somebody's trying to throw in their $25 to get in that super flex league.
Yeah, you still have time.
I think we're going to do it, like, what? Like, 2 months, a month and a half, we're going to start drawing names? Probably before. We should probably draw the names and solidify the league a couple weeks before the NFL draft. Because I want to have the draft.
Sure.
Like, I want to do the draft right after the NFL draft. Essentially.
I like it.
So we'll do a couple like lead up. Like, do you think we should do the like pick the winner first of the free entry, or should we build up and he's like the last player picked?
Let's talk about that later.
Okay.
Figure it out.
I get it. Your brain's not working.
Yeah, it's not. I'm not seeing all the angles right now.
But up until that point, all you have to do is donate $25 to the site and you're qualified to win the free entry into Matt and I's new Dynasty Superflex League.
Yes.
That's right. You will be a part of Matt and I's life forever in a dynasty league.
Amazing.
That's amazing. You could write us on a forum and chit chat with us and offer us trades that we'll try and bend you over on. It's not a big deal, right?
That's Rich's style.
That's what I do.
Uh-huh.
Hey, I got this trade offer. Wait right there. Let me go grab my lube.
at least you're nice enough to use
the
lube.
And then of course, if you don't make it into the $25 super flex league, you are going to be a member of the Nerd Herd for 2 years.
Sure.
Plus 1 month.
Yep.
So you can win a great prize. Oh, that means we have to give something away. We have to give away a Dynasty Nerds t-shirt.
When?
Right now.
Oh, my God.
It's the first of the year. We didn't do it last week.
The first of the month. Okay.
So let's do that real quick before we get out of here.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, if you are a member of the Nerd Herd, you have a chance to win something every month. Right now, we're going to work on some other prizes, but right now, we're busy, so we're just giving away Nerd Herd Dynasty Nerd t-shirt.
Sure.
Which is honestly the best prize you can win anyways.
It sure is.
So this week winner is, Matt, give me the number generator. You already know how many people are in the Nerd Herd.
10.
Yeah, number 10.
I just got back from the Dominican.
Oh, look at you.
Sunday night, I was about 3 shots from just straight up speaking Spanish.
You multilingual, like, literally bitch.
Ridiculous, man.
Garrett Christensen. Garrett Christensen.
Congratulations.
And what's good about Garrett is he is number 10. We go through the low numbers are the guys that donate monthly.
Oh, cool.
Garrett Christensen, I want to thank you personally again. You're somebody that donates $1 a month.
Oh, sweet, man.
Not throwing your personal business out there, Garrett, but we appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Again, you can do that on the site, too. You just hit recurring. All it takes is $1 a month to qualify you to be a member of the Nerd Herd. So once you qualify, you donate $1 a month. One, you're helping out the site. You're paying our writers. You're paying for the podcast. You're helping out the site tremendously.
Sure.
But it qualifies you win a sweet shirt and or some other prize that we give away. So Garrett Christensen, hit me up on Twitter or shoot me an email, rich@dynastynerds.com. And I'll get all your information, and you just won yourself a Dynasty Nerd shirt. Thanks for being me and a member of the Nerd Herd.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we explain how you be a member of the Nerd Herd as well. And don't forget, if you donate $25 to the site and you don't win the free entry, we are going to fill half the league minimum up with the $25 donators.
Right. They just have to pay their way.
And if you donate $100, that's 4 entries.
True statement.
Been there, done that. So, of course, if you want to support the site in other ways, you can always just buy a Dynasty Nerd t-shirt yourself. It's a good way to start the offseason, get ready for your rookie draft. And, of course, if you have an iPhone, stop what you're doing because I'm about to ruin. I'm not rapping. stop what you're doing. Get on iTunes. Leave us a rating and review. We need those.
Yes, we do.
It really does help the podcast more ways that we can describe. Until then, we'll be back next week. I'll be speaking English. Matt may be speaking Spanish full time by then.
Sí, señor.
And in the meantime, if you have any questions, you want to just talk about me on Twitter in a bad way, I'm at Dynasty Rich.
I'm at Dynasty Matt.
Until then, hasta luego.
Adios, mi amigos.
Ready, set, put up!
Thanks for listening to the Dynasty Nerds Fantasy Football Podcast. Make sure to check us out at DynastyNerds.com for up-to-date Dynasty insight. And follow us on Twitter @DynastyNerds.